Okay, prior to the takeover in April, what things did you remember or what things did you witness that you knew that things were getting worse in the country?
It's quite obvious at this time now, 1970. At the end of 1974, it's quite obvious. Even a young child, 10 to 15 years old, they still remember the war. Even though they live in a rich family, they are aware of the war now because it's closer to Phnom Penh now. It's everywhere. At this time, we heard the artillery in Phnom Penh City, and everybody aware of the war now, aware of the attack of the communist regime. At this time, especially in December, or in January, in December 1974, or early 1975. There's artillery attack in Phnom Penh, and going to school during this time is quite dangerous. Especially me, I still have my bicycle. I ride my bicycle to school. My sister, they have motorcycle, but for me, I have a bicycle to go to school. It's quite dangerous because artillery attack can be any time of the day. Doesn't matter night or day, and Tours Fireplay is a bad location too because it's not quite far away. It's about a few miles from American embassy. And the artillery attack aimed mostly at the American embassy. And Tours Fireplay worst yet is very close to a White House in America. It's a place where government Nono stay and work. It's only a few miles, called Rajangamon, the name of the place. Rajangamon is only a few miles from Tours Fireplay. And American Embassy and Rajangamon is only in a walking distance from each other. So artillery attack aim at this place most of the time. Mm-hmm. And going to school for me at this time is it's dangerous, not quite dangerous, but dangerous. Not because of the traffic, because I'm riding a bicycle, I don't have any problem with traffic at all. And because of the artillery attack from outside of Phnom Penh.
So what time were you going to school until? Did your school, when and if did your school close?
The takeover was in April, right? I don't remember exactly what month, but it's very close to the takeover. It's like a month, not even a month. I would say it's only a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks before April. I don't remember exactly, but it's like only in a few weeks before the school is closed.
Now, you say riding your bike to school, and were your parents, did your parents warn you about anything, did they?
Yes, they do. They reminded us that, you know, it's very dangerous, but, you know, because education is a continuing process, you cannot skip class and all of this. There's certain time, such certain day when the artillery, heavy artillery attack, that this is very close to the end now, that we have to cut school because of the fear.
But even you're saying, even during this time when there were artillery attacks, your parents still wanted you to go to school. They
still feel that important. A lot of children go to school at this time, not just me, or not, still a lot of children. Even though the parents quite aware of their organized group at school. Again, go back a little bit, I never belonged to any organized group at all, even though there exist organized group in school. I never belong, I never get into any, I've been told by my friend about the organized group, but I never given a chance. It doesn't mean my choice not to join them. I never given a chance. I'm aware that they exist in school, but I guess it's because my age, I guess, I don't know, with something else, not just my age alone, but some of my friends get involved. But I never get involved belonging to the organized group in school.
When you say organized group, what was it, like a club-like thing, or how?
Like a club thing, spread on. The major riot against the government where two ministers were killed in Lapumbaimina, Lisei. This is at almost close to the end now. I don't remember exactly the time. But this is a time where there's a lot of students quite aware because the head of education of the state. The whole education of the state. Educational minister, something like that. I don't know the exact term, but something like that. And one of them were the educational minister, and the other political leader too were persecuted, assassinated in Lapumbaimina Lisei. And that's when the government really get to the student, get on the student, not as bad as what happened in China recently, but they bring military control over the student at this period because what happened.
Even at your school, there was no...
Right. But my school did not have the major riot as in Lapumbaimina. Again, comparing to Lapumbaimina, my school is just like second to Lapumbaimina. Lapumbaimina is like the one that government hit the most because the two ministers were assassinated in the classroom. This is inside the classroom. And there's a lot of different beliefs that... But the thing I learned during this period that the Khmer Rouge were in there with the student inside on the campus with the student during the riot, and the minister went inside into this campus trying to control what's going on, trying to control the situation in school. But he got trapped by the student. Not he, but both of them got trapped by the student, and they were assassinated in the crowd, in the classroom.
Okay, but as far as you're saying organized groups, the organized group was not evident at your school? Were
not quite evident. No, this is illegal to the Lula regime.
Okay, yeah, but say students your age, that were they joining these organized groups or?
Some of them do, but only a few. I would say the 14 and 15 years old at this time. Only a few.
Okay, so now at this time, let's say early 1975, what things do you remember prior to April, let's say? Even bringing it up till to April itself, what do you remember hearing on the radio, on TV? Did you have a TV?
No, we don't.
Okay.
So TV is like one of the symbols for higher level of...
Do you have a radio?
Yes, we do.
Did your parents used to listen to the radio a lot, or...?
Just my parents listened to my father, especially. He lived into what's going on. He tried to keep informed about what's going on politically. At this time, my father himself was not making money at all. He closed his store now.
Mm-hmm.
My two sisters were supporting the family. My two brothers were still going to school.
Did your two brothers?
My two brothers get involved.
They got involved with
the riot. They at that age group.
How old were they?
The one next to me is 5 years old from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 14. So my brothers, the one just 15, the one's older than I am, and then the other one is 9. I mean, my next brother, 19 at his time. The other is 21. So they got involved with this stuff. And
did your parents have anything to say about this? Did they?
My parents was not for that because they should. My parents, my father was not a pro-Republican, Lula regime.
Mm-hmm.
My father was not against them, but he was not supporting them to lead the at all. But he's not supporting communists either.
Right.
I hate to say that he was not supporting communists, but he is very close friend to Hu Yun and Hu Nam and all of this communist leader in the past, that way in 1968. When they get to know each other.
Your father and this man?
Yes.
Hu Yun.
One of the three girls from France.
Mm.
Educational elite. Were educated in France and went back home. Start all this political upheaval back home.
How did your father get to know him?
This is a relative tie. We were far away. Hu Yun was on my on my mother's side. It's a relative tie, but in Cambodia, even though he's far away, we still have a long chain of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Boo, which means uncle, whenever he comes to my house. This is early in 1968-69. When he comes to my house, we always have, you know, he's close to my family. He's very close to my family, and we always have a big feast when he comes. Visit us, and he's a big shot. I remember he's a big shot. He has a car, Mercedes. He was educated from France, so he's a big shot. And each time he comes to my house, always a big feast. I got happy. I got some money, you know. I say,
He brought you money?
Yeah, usually what we do is the way he, especially him, he gave me money, and I'm the youngest in the family, I got attention. You know, you're the youngest, and you get close to him. I myself got close to him, and,
So he's like a distant relative.
But after he came back from France, we became close. And after he got married, having two children, Hu Yun kind of became close to my father, and my father got involved with all of his political things. My mom didn't like it because it caused the business and it screwed up the whole thing. That's why later my father did not have a store because he got a little bit too far into the political situation, the political problem, what we now call the left, according to the Republican Luminalist regime. My father was with the left, the Khmer Rouge, basically.
But then, now, when Hun Yun used to come over, did he used to, do you remember him? What did he talk about? What kind of things did he talk about?
At dinner, usually they have big dinner at home. This is when things were good. War is not there yet. My family liked him a lot. Even though we fall in a middle class family, because I guess one of the things that we liked him the most, he helped our family out too, because it's good to have a big shot come to our family one in a while, and especially when we become so close with my father, our community start to realize, start to know my father, respect more, because we have relatives with a big shot at this time. And the thing we talk over the dinner, I don't remember, but later, based on listening to my mom when I grew up, when I became older, my mom liked Hu Yun a lot because of what Hu Yun believed as an educated elite. He believed in equality, social equality, and my mom really liked that, despite the fact that she is a middle class family, but because the government was so corrupt, and my father also liked Hu Yun because I guess because of the government on the other side, especially during this time of Sino, is starting to be corrupted. And again, my father was informed by one side, and especially by Hu Yun, who my father respected him a lot because he educated. My father was not well educated. He can read Cambodian and write Cambodian well, but he did not speak any French at all, and that's the reason why my father respected Hu Yun a lot during the earlier time, because Hu Yun is educated in France, and you know, you go back home, you got a lot of respect through that. I know I go back with a little family history too.
Sure. Having this acquaintance that your family did with Hun Yun, mm-hmm. was your family at all concerned about maybe the reaction that we get, say, from the Republican police or anything like that?
At this time, there's no. Nothing serious happened yet, you know. Hu Yun was still a good guy, you know, accepted by Sino and all of this.
Mm.
he still has his good time now, you know, at this time, with he's got supported by the Xianlu regime. It's not regime, Xianlu is the king. Monarchy. So this period with things is still good. But despite the fact that things is still good, Hu Yun, as I learned later, that he involved in the Communist Party long before he even went back home. So he tried to indoctrinate to other people who he know very closely, basically to my father. And the other reason that Hu Yun really became close to my family is when Hu Yun trying to be what we call the Mang Rie for Kandao province. The Mang Rie means
representative
of a province. And that he need a lot of vote. And that time that he became so close to my father, he go to my house more often. My mom didn't like it very much, but because it's ruined the financial problem at home.
Okay.
Because my father take more time to do with the political thing rather than making money to support children to go to school.
Your father was diverted to his attention was
right. It's a big change. It's starting to change. My family starting to change.
When was the last time you saw him, when Hun Yun?
When I was very young. I don't remember exactly.
Is in Phnom Penh?
In Phnom Penh. This is like when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
When I was a little boy.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly. I still remember his face because our family keep his picture later too. We had to throw it away later because the political change. We had to burn them up. But,
Okay, going back to 1975, the artillery is barraging the city. Up to the last, say, the last time, I mean, the up to the communist takeover, how did you know the communists were coming
finally
in? Yeah, we're
in the backyard.
Finally in the backyard, yeah. How did you find that?
Well, there's fighting, constant fighting. A few days prior to the takeover, I believe when was it?
12.
A few days prior to that, it's Cambodian New Year's. Everybody celebrated with my family. We kind of knowing that the communists would take over. The only source of information that we know for sure that the communists will take over is from my sister, the one who lives in Chicago right now, Suchinda. Is the one who capable of speaking English at this period, and the one who's working closely with the American doctor. And she was told that the communists would take over no matter what, and the doctor she worked with wanted her and the rest of the family to come out of Cambodia with him. This is almost only a few days. My sister, I remember my sister went back home, shared this good and bad news with my family about taking off, getting out of Cambodia at the end of a few days prior to the takeover. My mom say no. My father say no. They don't want to get on to the helicopter with the American people. At this time now, a few days prior to the takeover, American is pulling out of Cambodia now. This is the time that the educated American working people are pulling out of Cambodia now.
Do you remember seeing that now?
Yes. I happened to see the helicopters, the American troop landed in, we call the building. This is not too far from my house either. American troop landed, but before I get into that, my sister came back home and shared this news with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My parents rejected. They cannot see a bright future coming to another country. They cannot see that they would be able to make a living in another country. Worse yet, they have to leave everything behind. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know that if they come that time, they could lose their friends, their relatives, everything that they have earned since the time they got married, the house, everything. But my mother decided to stay. My sister wanted to come so bad at this time, so Chen Da wanted to come out of the country because the person she worked with wanted her to come out and she know what's going to happen. But being a single girl at this time, especially a Cambodian girl, she cannot make up her mind to leave her family behind and just by herself get out of the country. Again, she cannot see her future too far away from the family. So finally, we all decided to stay. And my father believed that, you know, there's nothing serious going to happen, you know, like evacuations of the entire city like that. We never dreamed of that. We were hoping that if the clans take over, things will be peaceful, life will be normal, no more war, no more attack, that's what we learned. And we're expecting the peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
And
was your father hoping to meet up again with Hong Yong?
My father was expecting something big too. He did not realize that he because he get involved in the earlier period, despite the fact he still live in Phnom Penh and the rest of the people he know is in the jungle now. He decided not to go into the jungle because I don't know the exact reason, but the only reason that I can think of right now is probably, this is not for sure, probably my father cannot leave the rest of the family behind and he himself go into the jungle with the rest of the group. And because of that, he was portrayed by the Khmer Rouge group, which is by the Huyun, who's very close to us, as a what we now call a potential traitor, because my father did not just leave home and follow them. So my father got hit by both sides, by the Republican Lun Nok regime. And at the same time, he feel hated by the Khmer Rouge as well at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But my father could not leave the country because he knew that nobody's going. The persecution was not too severe. You know, I mean, to the point where we realize now, we have millions of people who persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
My father never expect anything that would happen. And I believe that the rest of the people in his generation would never expect anything like that to happen.
Let me ask you this. Would you describe... How was his attitude, from what you remember, prior to the takeover? Was he optimistic about the takeover, or was he just waiting to see what would happen? How would you describe it?
At this time, my father was not quite well informed by both sides. He keep informed, basically, he heard by the radio, and he lost contact with Hu Yun.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot keep any contact because he will know he live in a rural environment.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the clear picture of the communist regime is. And he still believe in this old ideology of what Hu Yun had told him about good thing will happen if the takeover, if the communists will take over, the good thing will happen. And my father still believed in that. He was not quite optimistic about the Khmer Rouge because of the experience through his relative back where he was born. He lost contact to most of them through the years. During the war, he learned that the communists were not what he was told in 1967, 68, and all of the time that he was close to Hu Yun. And he never thought that, you know, Hu Yun would ever done that. And
had he ever, like you said, did he ever think about going into the jungle and joining the group? Did he ever think about doing that, or was that ever on his mind that you know about?
It's a quite secret at this time now, because he did not say very much, because he's living in a world where the Lunar's regime, Lunar police keep watching on him. There's certain move that he make and he will get arrested. So he's very, at this time, despite the fact he's not hiding, but he cannot be, cannot do anything that really advocate anything. When you ask me, what he think, he never discussed anything anymore about Hu Yun or Hu Nam. It's just like, Hu Yun is no longer a family, a household word anymore.
Okay.
At this time, Hu Yun is not in the family anymore.
How then? Okay. You say that was he in fact being watched? What do you know if your father was
being watched
by the Lon Nol people? Did you ever notice?
No, I don't remember anything seriously, you know, like getting arrested or anything like that. My father never got arrested by the local regime.
Mm.
But he was very careful. He was very careful about what he's doing. And it's helped when my two sisters go to work for the Lunar regime.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my oldest one, who's living with me right now, is accounting for Lunar regime. And my other one, my second sister, was a nurse for Lunar regime. So that's helped him too. Because, and the rest of the children were going to school, we are not advocating anything. We, even though my two brothers get involved with this riot at school, but there's no contact between my father and, you know, the way they do things. There's nothing the government can keep track of.
Well, your brothers, okay, prior to the takeover, what do you remember about how did they feel about the Khmer Rouge taking over?
My two brothers were somehow optimistic. that thing will be better. To a lot of people, I feel, to myself, I feel that way too. And my brother, both of them were optimistic to a certain extent, despite the fact. The only optimist thing that they were expecting is the peaceful, that they can go back to school without fear of anything. And they'd probably be able to meet their relative, you know, like the rest of the people would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I can recall. My brother did not mention quite very much about, you know, what's going to happen. The only thing that I still remember is my sister shared the news that, you know, the communists will take over. And even my two brothers was never, ever say anything about, you know, when they take over and then come the persecution and all of this. None of my family ever expected anything that bad. We just know that it's going to be change, but it's going to be better. Change for better, and not change for worse. And it turned out the opposite from what we expect.
Yeah.
I must have known very little at the time, despite I was turning to 15. At 15 years old, I was not irresponsible. At this time, my sister supporting me go to a French school.
French school?
French school, learning French language. This is private school at night time. In the afternoon, after I go to a public school tours by prey in the daytime, and my sister, the oldest one, talk to me into going to at this time the English language becomes so popular now.
Right.
Most kids choose to take English, but my sister, the oldest one, talked to me about going to a French school, and she would pay for it, and that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And she supported me. Both of them, not just one of them, both of them, they pitch in. And send me to a private school.
Well, you were learning French.
I was learning French. I had a French professor who was born in French and French. She speak Cambodian very well. And I still remember the first day in her class, she made me look like a fool by speaking French to me. And I was not expecting that. This is a school where a lot of higher class of people would go there. And my sister felt very important for me. And I was pursuing, well, at age 15, my sister and the rest of the family and me agreed that I trying to study international, majoring in something would later help me to go international trading. What do you call that?
International business?
Something like that, that helped me to go into that, because my sister, both of them, especially my father, who's a businessman, he even though a businessman, and because of that, I have the rest of the family has this concept of business thing, and all of them talk to me, and I think it's just not my idea alone. At the age of 14 and 15, my parents and my sister's idea of going to French school, because French is the official language, and by going to French, private French school rather than English, I would be able to go to school and hopefully in the future If I ever succeed this goal of being an international trading executive, but I never got that far. But that's what they planned it for me. My sister really planned that, and both of them were behind me, supporting me all the time. Clothes, school, and.
Were you still riding your bike? Did you ride your bike?
Yes, I still ride my bike. Again, my family believe in education so much. They rather put money into like private school rather than buy me a motorcycle.
How do you feel about that?
I've been raised in an environment like that, so I feel comfortable to that because, you know, if I raised in a different environment, I would feel something against it, but because I was raised in an environment where all my brother and sister go to school, what am I, you know, and especially, I feel a lot of pressure that time in terms of being a success student, because my family expected so much from me, my sister, my parents, especially when we looked at the line, a family line. You know, we had relatives like Hu Yun and other people who was educated in France, and they planned to send me to France if possible. That's why I started going to French school.
Oh, they wanted to start you early.
Right, so I will be
able education.
By the time I graduate from towards my grade list, they would be able to have enough money to send me to France. My sister was thinking about getting cars and all of this at this time, but they feel more important for me to go on to school.
What about your other brothers? Didn't they have plans for them for you?
My brother, because my other one, the one next to me, like I said to you earlier, he's a troublemaker. It doesn't mean I'd be careless about him. My sister doesn't support him at this time. He's still a troublemaker, but he never get arrested by any authority at all. He's just like, problem. he was not doing quite well at school either, but he's not failing.
Right. Just getting by.
Right, just getting by. And the one from me was doing quite well. That's like, beside me, he's the smartest in the family. He's doing so well in school, and he got a lot of support from my sister too, financially at this time. So he's concentrated in school too.
How about the oldest one? The oldest one was
my oldest sister is the one with me right now.
Right.
She's working at the county.
Okay, but I mean your oldest brother, the one that was at
the good one.
Yeah, the good one. What did they have? Did your sister have plans for him? What he was going to do?
Well, my parents had a plan for them. He was going to medical school, become a big shot in medicine.
He was going to.
Right.
Was he already in medical school?
I think he was in a first year, trying to go to medical school. Don't remember quite well. But he was like one of the. No, the student, he was not an honor student or anything like that.
Just ordinary.
A little bit about average, but not quite an honor student.
Oh, okay.
And I got a lot of support. I guess because I'm the youngest, I got more attention, and I got to go to private school and all of this. And I become one of the top students. But a lot of pressure, though.
To perform.
Right.
To perform well, yes.